Father, we praise you and we thank you that on our hearts tonight, there are needs, Lord. There are needs in every home, every household, every individual. Things that we're facing, and we know that we're not facing them alone. For you are always with us, never leaving us and never forsaking us. For the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my light. He is my strength. And I'm so thankful, Lord, the strong Son of God who we celebrate tonight, Jesus Christ, our Savior, is in our midst. Lord, somehow as you always do, meet the need, the immediate need of your people. Lord, I've seen you work miracles in the last minute. You never fail. Your love never fails. Your grace never fails. You never make a mistake. Lord, thank you that we can look to you and trust in you. We praise you for that tonight. As Lord, we also lift up those in our congregation that have been ill. Lord, we just lift them up to you, especially tonight for Dave Leopold's mom there in Nebraska. Lord, just touching her, being with Dave as well, the whole family. And Lord, for Michael Munez's friends, that just touching their heart as well and just being with them. And Lord, a special prayer tonight for Randy Metter, who's undergoing cancer surgery. Lord, just being with him in such a mighty way, being with Michelle, his wife, and all of his children, Lord, just bless him. And tonight, Lord, if we've sinned by word, deed, thought, or action, grieved, quenched, vexed the Holy Spirit of God in any way, we believers, we know where to run to. We confess our sin. We run to the throne of grace, O God, asking you to cleanse us from any and all unrighteousness by the precious blood of Jesus. We ask it tonight in Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians, and while I do, would you turn tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, and I'll be there momentarily. You know, tonight, like we started the last communion night, we want to reclaim community. Amen. Our oneness, our togetherness. You know, we're all partakers of his divine nature. We are one family. And the Lord's Supper is not something that is weekly or monthly ritual to be observed. It is deep fellowship with our Lord and with one another. Now, you know, when I think about here we are tonight, we're the body of Christ. We're members of one another. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:16, it says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Partaking of communion is an act of fellowship, deep fellowship with our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, and because he is here, he's the head of the church. We're his body, and that communion. The word is koinonia, like our cafe, the Koinonia Cafe. It's speaking of a partaking, of sharing, of loving one another, of fellowshipping with one another. That deep intimacy. Paul goes on to say, "For we though many, we are one bread, one body. For we all partake, or literally share in that one bread." Tonight we are reclaiming intimacy. Tonight is not a ritual. Amen? No, it's not at all. Listen, tonight as we're breaking of the bread and partaking of the cup, the most important thing that we can remember is our oneness in Christ. Amen? That we're all one in the Lord, one body, one faith, and so forth. Jesus, our Lord, is not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. Jesus is with us. Amen? So the Bible teaches us, as you know, last time we were together on the last communion service, where we were looking back at all that Jesus has done for us. We were in Psalm 22. And this morning, or tonight, or this afternoon, or next week, wherever I'm at, have you ever had one of those days? You know, I mean, I know, as I use this expression often, but you know, about the cheese slipping off the cracker, you know what I mean? Well, there's not any cheese on there, okay? I finally realized it's completely gone. I mean, I was trying to lock my car this afternoon. It was already locked, if you know what I'm saying. So, you know, it's gone, and that's okay, but the Lord is with me tonight. If he'll help me through this 2 hour service, right? Paul writes and he says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, meaning the bread, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We know that we're to look back at all that the Lord has done for us. Amen. Now, we did that again, the last communion service, and we do look back even right now, remembering the Lord's death and meaning all that his death means to us, how he took our place. He took our sin. Amen. Thank God for that. He defeated hell, death, the grave, the devil, all of it. And it says, in this manner, he took up the cup after supper, saying, this is a cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. 1 Peter 1:18-19 talks about how we have been redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been purchased. We're a purchased possession. And he goes on and Paul says, for as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Say that with me. Until he comes. So we look back at what the Lord has done. But tonight, as we are reclaiming community through communion, we're going to look into the future. We're going to look ahead at what the Lord has done. Tonight, we are one body. We are one people. We are one family. Until he comes, listen very carefully. Every young person, every person that stayed home tonight and you're listening live, listen very carefully. Jesus is coming. He is going, listen, he is really going to come. He's going to come again. And I don't mean just the second coming. I mean, he is coming back for his people. The table that is set in front of us, it's temporary. It's not always going to be there, loved one. It's not going to last forever. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Didache. That's the first writing, if you will, that they put together in the first century of what the apostles were doing and so forth. And it's actually from the apostles. And in the Didache, whenever the first century church, they're toward the end of the first century, when they would partake of communion, at the end of the communion service, they would always pray, and they would pray, Maranatha. In other words, come, Lord Jesus. Amen? Then, you know, tonight, as we look ahead at what the Lord wants us to see as we celebrate his table in a little bit, would you join me in just looking ahead at what could happen in just 1 second or 1 hour or 10 hours, we don't know. But it's the catching away of the church. Amen? So you should be there someplace about 1 Thessalonians, you know, because today, tomorrow, next week, can you imagine the entire waking up and every believer gone from this planet? Think about that. I mean, in an instant, millions are going to vanish. It says it's going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. And that is actually the next worldwide event. And there's not any more scriptures needed to be fulfilled for the rapture or the catching away of the church to be fulfilled. Jesus said in Matthew 24:42, he says, watch. In other words, keep awake, that continual expectancy. He says, therefore, because you do not know the hour, what hour your Lord is coming. No one knows. I don't care how many books they want to write about it. No one knows when the rapture is going to occur. No one. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour, but we do know it's going to happen. People say, well, there's not going to be a rapture, Bill, or a catching away of the church. And we're going to go through the great tribulation period. Well, if the church is going to go through the great tribulation period, that means we will know when Jesus is returning. Because it's a 7-year period of time. Amen? And we're going to know. We know what's going to happen. Oh, no, but we're not going to be going through that. Now, let's begin as we tonight reclaim communion, community through our communion. Look at verse 13, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. He says, but I do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant, brethren. Ignorant about what? Now, watch this. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Boy, that's... Paul says he's answering a question. In other words, they were going, okay, what's going to happen? What's happened to my loved ones, the ones that have already died? I mean, if there's going to be a rapture and so forth, what's going to happen to them? You know, the word sleep there, you know what that word means. It's used for Christians, by the way. It's just, you know, it's speaking, of course, of a physical death. And it signifies like a death-like sleep, if you will. You know, but it's not a permanent state. When, I mean, you know, did you go to sleep last night? Did you wake up this morning? Well, so one day, well, you know what? If we do pass, the rapture, the catching away doesn't happen in our lifetime. You know, our body's just going to go to sleep. Our spirit's going to go home to be with the Lord. You see, it says we don't want to be ignorant about that, not sorrow like those who have no hope, meaning those that don't know Jesus. And I love you. And if you don't know the Lord here, if you're here tonight or listening in, and I'm saying, listen, you need to turn to the Lord. You don't want to be left behind. You don't want to face the Antichrist. You don't want to face the great tribulation period. People say, well, I'm going to, get in a cave. Can you imagine 100-pound hailstones falling from the sky? Think about that for a moment. You know, it's going to be a horrible time. So, no, we're not those that don't have any hope. We, you know, it doesn't mean that when we lose someone, when someone passes, it doesn't mean that we don't sorrow, you know. That we don't grieve in our heart. Man, I mean, you lose a spouse or you lose a child. Oh, God, that's a brother, sister. It's so difficult. But we're not like those who don't know the Lord, that have no hope. See, we know tonight, when we partake of communion, we know tonight, if we closed our eyes in death right now, we know where we would be. Amen? To be absent, 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body, to die, is to be present with the Lord. We go home and we're with Him. Well, Bill, isn't there soul sleep? No, there's no soul sleep. There's no purgatory. I mean, you know, instant death, instant arrival, okay? Now, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:7, it says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, meaning this old crummy body. It's our earth suit, if you will. And the spirit will return to God who gave it. Now look at verse 14. For since, or if, but it should be translated since there, since we believe that Jesus died, since we believe that Jesus rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. That's the departed believers. Jesus died, He rose, and that word sleep is never ever applied to Jesus. Did you know that? Only applied to us. No, Jesus experienced death for you and me. He, not only that, He experienced it for everyone. The Bible tells us that in Hebrews 2:9, He tasted death for everyone. We will never ever taste death like Jesus tasted death. You see, He took the full brunt, the full experience of death, and then He defeated it. Amen? That's exactly right. It says in Hebrews 2:14 that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, and that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We don't ever have to fear death. And not talking about the reality of death is not going to take away, the fear of it. But we don't have to fear it. The fact is that we're told that Jesus has the keys to hell and death. Amen? He's the one who has the keys. He's the one who destroyed the one who had the power over death and so forth, which was the devil. So it says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, meaning from Jesus Himself, that we, now Paul includes himself there, he says, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself, that's our Savior, will descend from heaven with a what? With a shout and with the voice of an archangel, or the voice that sounds like an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, meaning only the church age saints. We're the church. So the ones that are in Christ, look what's going to happen. They will rise first. They will receive their glorified bodies, and immortal, incorruptible, and it's all going to take place with a shout. Jesus' shout in this scripture that I just read is a command. And it's a shout that literally wakes up that dead body, that dust and so forth. And Jesus gives the order Himself. Did you know that each time Jesus shouts in Scripture, a resurrection takes place? The first shout was there in John chapter 11, I believe it is, verse 40-something. Come on. And remember, it was with Lazarus. When he shouts out, The second time that Jesus shouts in scripture is found in on the cross there at Matthew 27, verse 50 through 53. And he cries with a loud voice and he shouts from the cross, and it says that he yielded up his spirit. And it says, then behold, the veil of the temple, it was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rock split and the graves were opened. Think about that. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Now listen, that would have been a wild day in Jerusalem. Amen. And it says, and coming out of the graves, and this happened, now listen, after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. That must have been unbelievable. There's a Jacob. Is that you, Jacob? You know, hello? You know what I'm saying? Now, the third shout hasn't happened yet. It's yet future. It may happen today. It may happen tomorrow. But here's what's going to happen when he does this next shout. It's going to be a mass exodus from the cemeteries. You hear me? Yeah. This is going to be worldwide. And the dead in Christ, they're going to rise and receive brand new bodies. Think about that. Brand new bodies. Free from any corruption. Never, never sick. Absolutely. I mean, think of that. You couldn't even have a bad memory. It's perfect. Everything is going to be incredible. The Bible says in John 5:28, do not marvel at this. Jesus said the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We won't all die. But we shall all be changed. That is incredible, isn't it? In other words, there is a generation that will never, ever experience death. I hope it's this generation. Oh, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Yeah, that'll never experience death. You see, the Christians that are alive during the catching away or the rapture, they'll receive new bodies in an instant. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, it'll happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's not a process, it's instant. At the last trumpet, for the trump will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. That's going to happen suddenly. It's going to happen without warning. And all the believers on this planet, they're going to be instantly removed. No one will ever attend your funeral if that happens in our generation. Think about that. No flowers. No, we're gone. Out of here. Goodbye. Oh, what a wonderful day. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready? If it happened tonight, could you say in your heart, I'm ready to be gone? Now, that's not a selfishness there at talking. We want to go home to be with the Lord, but we also want to finish our race. Amen? But at the same time, there is going to be a calendar moment, a calendar time. And we're already, time is already running out. It's ticking down. We're in the last days, as the Bible teaches us. And you know, history is his story. Amen. And we're winding down and winding down and winding down. How close are we? I don't know. But I do know it could happen at any time. And the moment that it happens, the moment that the church is caught up, loved one, then that'll be whenever the starting point of the great tribulation period. It's going to be a horrible, horrible time. It says in verse 17, and then we who are alive, here we are right now alive, and remain, look at this, here's the word, caught up. In Latin, it's rapturo. It's a Greek word. It means to be removed or snatched up forcibly and suddenly, to transport. It means to seize. And we'll be caught up together with them, meaning the dead in Christ, and in the clouds to meet the Lord, where? In the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. That'll be the end of the church age. The bride of Christ has now departed from this planet. I tell you, I look at that and I say, oh God, I'm so thankful for you. You see, the Lord wants us to know what's happening. Amen? He doesn't want us to be confused. He doesn't want us to be deceived. No, we're going to be caught up together. Why? Because we're family. We're going to be shocked at some of the people that make it. You know what I'm saying? And probably going, I can't believe that one didn't. You know what I'm saying? No. See, we're reclaiming community tonight through communion because we're looking ahead, because we're one family. We're looking ahead because we all have one future. Amen. And that's to be together with the Lord. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:2, it says, you know, beloved, now we're the children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What an amazing moment. The Bible tells us in Philippians 3:20, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to what will happen. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. A reunion in the air. We're going to see our loved ones that have gone before us, our friends. It's going to be an everlasting meeting, and it's only going to be for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. Do you know what happens immediately whenever the catching away of the church, the next step is? Remember what Jesus told us? He told us in the Word of God, he said in John 14:1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now that's the catching away of the church. I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, ye may be also. We're going to go home for the next 7 years after the catching away. We're going to finally be home. 7 years later, guess who's coming back with the Lord? The church. We come back. Remember, at the second coming, the millennial reign of Christ and so forth. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and following. We come back with the Lord. So tonight, we're looking ahead. We're looking ahead at all that Jesus is telling us is going to happen. And you know what? Tonight, when I think about the Lord's return, but let me ask you a question. Do you think every day, are you eagerly expecting him? When you walk out, in your prayer time or wherever you go to your closet, wherever your altar is in your home or wherever your office, wherever, do you ever think that he may come today? Are you looking for him? Are you looking for the author, the finisher of your faith? Boy, I tell you, every morning, you hear me say so often, I get up very early, about 10:30 or 11 at, about, 5, sometimes 4:30, I get out of my walk, I've got my little flashing thing on, somebody can run me over. And, and I always look to the east and see, you see the morning star. And then there, I don't know what that little star below it is, but it's pretty cool, whatever it is. And I always look there and I always talk to the Lord and I say, Lord, I know you made that. You hung them out there in the universe. You've named them. You know everything. You're sovereign. You're Almighty God. Are you going to come today, Lord? Is this the last day? Is this the day, Lord, that you've made? Are we going to rejoice in this day? Are we going to be caught up together? I always wonder, is this the last day? The last day of the history of the church, when we're gone, when we are removed. Paul said there to the church at Thessalonica in verse 18, look what he said. He said, therefore, he said, give comfort to one another. No. Therefore, take comfort. No, they're scare one another to death. He didn't say that. He said, therefore, comfort one another with these words. What words? The words that we just looked over. Paul didn't say, oh man, listen, you better get ready. You better prepare for the 7 years. It's going to be a long 7 years, that great tribulation period. He didn't say that. He didn't say, oh my, you better really know who the Antichrist is because it's going to be a tough time. Well, it's definitely going to be a tough time. Paul didn't say that though. You know what Paul said earlier to the church at Thessalonica? Let me read it to you. In 1 Thessalonians 1:10, he says, wait. That's that constant meaning to look, expecting Jesus. He says, wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from, not sustained through the great tribulation, who delivers us out of the wrath to come. That's the day of the Lord, that horrible time on earth. Now, we're going to be delivered, the Bible just said, from the most horrible time of suffering that this planet has ever known. The church at Philadelphia, which there's only two churches left on the planet, Philadelphia or Laodicea, okay? Revelation 3:10 tells us that we are going to be delivered from, out of, not sustained through, out of the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole earth. That is the catching away of the church. Listen, remember as we look ahead tonight, And we're saying, Lord, you know, as we reclaim community with one another, looking ahead to our future with the Lord. Remember, in the rapture, Christ comes where? In the air, okay? In the second coming, Christ comes to where? The earth. Where does he touch down? Mount of Olives, okay? In the rapture, Jesus, he's coming for his saints. In the second coming, Jesus is coming with his saints. In the rapture, it takes place in just one moment, a twinkling of an eye. It's instantaneous. The second coming doesn't occur until after the 7-year period of the Great Tribulation period. Then the second coming happens. The rapture has to do with his church. In Revelation chapter 1, all the way through chapter 4, verse 1, I believe it is, the church is mentioned, and I may be wrong on this, 19 times. And then after verse 1, it's not mentioned again until we get to Revelation chapter 19. You see, the rapture has to do with the bride of Christ, the church. The second coming has to do mainly with the nation of Israel and the promises to Israel. In the rapture, only Christians see Jesus. But boy, at the second coming, what does it say? Who's going to see him? Let me read it to you. Revelation 1:7. It says, look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, meaning the nation of Israel. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Jesus. Why? Because it's too late then to be saved. When he comes back at the second coming, it's over with, folks. He's coming to rule and reign, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Tonight, as we get ready, gentlemen, let's go ahead and start passing out communion. Tonight, as we partake, listen carefully. We've looked back at what the Lord has done for us on the cross. We've looked ahead. We know where we're going, the catching away of the church. But now there's something that needs to happen. Tonight, let us look within. Let's look in our hearts. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 11:27, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Now, if you're not a believer, you don't want to partake of the cup. I don't mean to be mean by saying that, but when you do that, you're going to drink judgment to yourself. But you know what you can do? You can say, Father, I'm a sinner. I want Jesus to save me. I want him to be my Lord, my Savior. Come in my heart, rule and reign, be my master. If you do that, you can partake with me. I believe tonight, as before we depart, or you depart, some of you that go back, listen now. Would you let there be in your heart and in your mind that fellowship with the Lord? You know, when Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, speaking of the cup, speaking of the bread. You know what Jesus was really saying? He was saying this, don't forget me. After I'm gone, once I go back up into heaven, once I've ascended to the right hand of the Father, once I'm in the throne, he said, listen, do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. He says, I love you. I'll always love you because I died for you. The Lord tells us, he says, you know, when we eat and drink in an unworthy manner, it says, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, meaning they die. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Well, I'll tell you, that's a good word. Let's judge ourselves. If there's something wrong in our heart, let's go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to partake of the bread. I don't want to partake of the cup until I've gone to you and asked you to wash me, to cleanse me. If you have aught against a brother, sister, you need to forgive them. We don't have time to walk in unforgiveness. Amen? We don't have time not to love one another. We don't have time. Life is so short. Don't let the enemy deceive you and trip you up. Don't let that happen. Listen, we have a great high priest who is faithful, who is merciful, who is alive, and who is in our midst right now. I'm so thankful that Jesus saved me. Amen. that Jesus saved you, that he washed away our sins. So tonight, what we do as we hold the bread and the cup, we do in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you tonight. I know there are those that are here, Lord. Some of them are just, they're hurting. They need wisdom. They need guidance. They need direction, oh God. Maybe depression. Maybe that horrible, horrible loneliness, feeling like we're always alone. No place, no one to be with. We go to a lonely workplace and return to a lonely home or a lonely apartment. But we're never alone, Lord, for you're always with us. You're always there taking care of us, speaking to us, guiding us. Lord, we're thankful tonight that you took our place, that you died our death, you took our sin. We thank you, Lord, of your own volition, you put yourself on the cross for us. We love you. We praise you tonight, for you indeed are the bread of life. And tonight, as one family, looking unto one Savior, we all partake of the bread together. Let us partake in Jesus' name. Before we partake of the cup tonight, I want to say something to you. Don't ever give up when you're waiting on an answer from the Lord. Don't think, at the last second, the last 5 minutes of what you may need, and you're saying, there's no way. That's when God, he can do it. Don't ever think that God can't pull it off or make a way where there seems to be no way. Just keep looking at him. Amen. Keep believing his word. He is, when we are faithless, he remains faithful. God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And I think some of you that are here tonight, before we partake of this, you're saying, you feel like that time is running out for the miracle, maybe, or whatever you need in your life. And you feel like it's just time is running out. There's no way it's going to happen. Just keep believing. I would rather pass believing than unbelieving. Amen. I'd rather depart from this planet saying, I believed. And I'll continue to believe until I can't see, until I can't breathe. God will never fail you. He will never fail you. He will always make a way. So tonight, Father, as we hold this cup in our hand, what we do now, we do in remembrance of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, let us partake. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the sheep of your pasture that are here and present. And I thank you, Lord, that I know you're going to meet every need in their life at the exact right time. You never fail your people. Never. We may fail you, but you will never fail us. So, Lord, bless us tonight as we become intimate with one another, as we fellowship with one another, as we pray for one another. We love and praise you now in Jesus' name. And we all say,